And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Laron, do you know the honor that was bestowed upon the late this week?
I just found out by looking in the paper.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much.
Leo, what time does the parade usually start?
Usually it starts at 2 o'clock.
Okay, so the parade this year will be starting at about 2:07 because Patty is the Grand Marshal of the parade. So there, either that or the other thing we're thinking is this year the Grand Marshal will be at the end of the parade so they can start on time. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Well deserved.
And that parade is Sunday, September 20th, right?
20th, right. Leo Cusimano is one of our guests today. Another one of our guests, Melissa Miller. We have Mark Stimson in the studio, David Andrews. We're all talking about the Wedding Expo, the Gay and Lesbian Wedding Expo, or LGBT Wedding Expo, that's going on next week at the Anatole. Give us the times, Leo.
That is correct, David. It is Sunday, August 2nd at the Anatole, the Hilton Anatole Hotel, and it's going to run from noon to 6 p.m.
Okay. And the cost?
It's free. It's free. Registration is free. Attendance is free. And parking is free with registration.
So you have to register ahead of time to get free parking because normally you have to pay to park at the
Anatole. Absolutely. Okay. At the Anatole. And Dallas Voice has paid for that parking, so that's why it's free this time.
Okay, right. Great. Nice. We're going to get back to Leo with some other stuff. I want to talk to Melissa first. Melissa Miller is with G Texas Catering. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you.
Melissa is straight. She's going to be at the expo to market to gay people. But from what we understand, all of this wedding stuff just conflicts with your religious beliefs. So, first of all, when did your marriage break up?
Well, I've never been married, actually.
Ah, okay.
Oh, well, and now
perfect.
You won't be.
And now, now you can't be. Marriage destroyed. How is the additional business that you're getting as a result of marriage equality threatening your religious beliefs?
It's not threatening my religious
beliefs
at all.
But it's been in the news. I thought it is.
Yeah.
Have your kids learned about, because of gay marriage, have your kids learned about gay sex in school yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, so we will be watching for that. I'm sure that's going to happen because they keep saying it's going to. Melissa, what do you do? Because we've been talking about marriage. Today we're talking about weddings.
I do catering and event planning for G Texas Catering. We do off-premise catering and on-premise catering. We cater for Gilly's Saloon, and we also cater at Southside and Lamar. Building, which is a really unique catering space. We also go all around Dallas and Fort Worth doing off-premise events, corporate and weddings.
Okay, so one of the things about gay people planning weddings all of a sudden is that we never thought about it before. Did you ever think you were getting married, Patty?
No, and I certainly didn't think about the big, long, white gown with a veil and a big train. Never thought about that kind of a wedding, if any, you know.
Well, but one of the things, if you're having family coming in, you need a venue.
We'd love to help you with that. We can help you with any part of your planning process.
Dang, where were you 8 years ago? I needed you.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
Wedding stuff was never marketed to our community, even though people were having commitment ceremonies, civil union ceremonies, going out of the country to get married and coming back ceremonies. And
we're excited to help change that now.
Yeah.
We're really excited to be a part of the show on August 2nd.
Now, one of the things that I find fun is that you work with Gilly's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gilly's is a very gay-friendly place, and I don't mean this to sound any other way than that. But when you're talking about gay event, Gilly's isn't the first place that comes to mind.
Right. No.
Well, we do a lot of corporate events at Gilly's, but Gilly's is actually a great place to do weddings. We have several different parts to the venue. And the rustic wedding is a very popular wedding theme right now, and it's a great place to check out for that. So mm-hmm. we'd love to help you out if you want to come down and take a look.
You said there's a rooftop.
There's a rooftop. It's called The Loft. Mm-hmm. And also at the south side on Lamar, we have a rooftop that overlooks the entire city of Dallas. It's beautiful in the evening. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to do mm-hmm. a ceremony.
So one of the first things that you should think about is venue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you decide? Mine is about a year off. I have no idea how many people are coming. I have no idea how many people we're inviting. I know I'm not inviting my office.
Well, that I think that's the most important thing to do.
I work for Leo, for anybody who does.
When you're planning your wedding, that's probably the first thing to do before you decide to pick your venue. Because once you hit, there's a lot of venues all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Mm-hmm. Once you hit 200 people, it kind of scales down a little bit, and you have a limited amount of places to go look. So you figure out how many people that you plan to invite and go from there. Pick your venue, and then you can pick your caterer and go on from there.
Okay. Can you do one and all the same?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because that was the biggest challenge for us, is trying to find a place, a venue, and a place that would cater at the same time, and we never found it. We just had to kind of improvise and do it ourselves.
Yourself. Yeah.
Well, a lot of places now are offering options. They have a preferred caterers list for you to pick from. And a lot of times, even if there's a caterer that you're loyal to or that you like to use, which a lot of people in your community are loyal to certain kind of brands, they'll just talk to the venue and ask them. And as long as the caterer that you're working with has all the legal provisions, then they'll usually let you bring that caterer in.
Okay. Now, the other thing that...
Wait a second, David.
Okay, go ahead.
If you're going to have, like, 3,300 people mm-hmm. at a sit-down, you probably should look at just the Sheraton.
Probably. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, because that's the size of... It's the largest dinner in Dallas, sit-down, and that's the black tie dinner
that the
LGBT community
I knows. Might be having that many.
You might be having 3,300 people?
Could be.
A sit-down dinner? We're going to get a lettuce leaf each. That's what we're going to get.
That's about it.
Yeah. Matzo ball.
We're actually a caterer that can handle something like that.
Oh, wow.
And even, what matter of fact, we do the Cattle Baron's Ball every year. So we're definitely a caterer, and there's only a select few of us in Dallas that can mm-hmm. handle events that size. So if you have an event that size, please come talk to us.
Well, I guess David might be one of your new customers.
Well, I would love that, David. I would love that, and I'll give you a great deal, I promise.
Give us an idea. How do you even sit down and come up with a budget?
Well, that's a good question. And usually it's a per-person budget, and controlling your guest list is probably the most important thing there, because most caterers charge you by the person. It's just like going out to dinner. And going to a restaurant, and you know, if you go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse with 20 people, you've got to figure that it's going to be about $50 a head, and it's mm-hmm. generally anywhere for a wedding. You're looking at on the low end, on the between 30 at around 30, and that's with food and service and disposable plates. So maybe not a lot of people want mm-hmm. that. So $30 mm-hmm. to $100 a head is about an average.
That's why it really is important to let somebody know if you're going or not. Seriously, they really want to know. Also, what about another big thing with weddings is the wedding cake. Do you all help with those, or can you help somebody find a cake decorator?
We do have a great pastry chef who can do a lot, and we work with a lot of great venues as well. I mean, vendors as well that can help you with your cake.
Of course, if they're doing a cake, though, they're participating in the wedding. You know, I mean, like, they're a direct participant.
That's
apparently.
True.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
Because, you know,
apparently.
We've heard of the bakers that if they were to make a cake, oh, my gosh, I'm participating in the ceremony.
I heard a great analogy. So did the person who sold the gun to whoever pick a mass shooting, does that make the gun salesman a participant in the shooting?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
So, cake bakers, yeah, I told you we digress a little bit. We're talking about shooting people now.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patty. Cake bakers are the ones who are claiming, oh, my God, it's, you know, if I have to bake a cake, it's going to violate my religious beliefs. Have you run into any... so far, and it's just started. I mean, it's just a few weeks that we have marriage equality, and I don't know anybody who planned a wedding before that decision, because bad luck to do that. Have you heard of any vendor who has said, I just don't want to do the gay wedding?
Not in my industry. Yeah. Everybody that I associate with is very excited about this, mm-hmm. honestly. And I did a little research before I came here today and checked around, you know, with some popular churches and to see what people were saying, and some really well notable people are pretty neutral on the subject as well. I mean, mm-hmm. this is the world that we live in now, so
we're really not hearing that. The ones that we're hearing in the news are the exceptions,
and they're like four out of a country of 316 million
yeah,
people.
Right,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
four people complaining.
I mean, if for no other reason, and I hate to be cynical about it, mm-hmm. even if you are against it, it's still business. It's still money in your pocket.
You would think.
The buying power of the LGBT community is over $800 billion annually, and who would say no to that?
Right. Yeah.
See,
I mean,
exactly.
With
$800 billion, I can afford 3,300.
Oh, sure. Down. Yeah. Absolutely.
I do have access to that money. How do I ask for it? I'm not sure how that works.
Leo, I don't know how to ask for it.
Do you know how to ask for it? No. Oh, okay.
Oh, you can ask Leo for a raise.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can ask.
And he's
yeah.
the one who goes for the $8 billion.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Okay, I will do that on Monday.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. What else does somebody need to know when they're planning a wedding? What are the little things that that we should be thinking about? Leo.
Well, my partner Tony and I are planning our wedding in September. And,
wait, he said yes?
And he said yes, right, exactly.
Awesome. Congratulations.
When the decision came down in June, late June, we had a marriage equality edition that next weekend, and we had lots of advertisers, 72-page paper, and, you know, the staff was still selling. They came to me and said, hey, you know, we need to increase the paper. We do that by four-page segments, and they said, can we go to 76? I'm like, yeah, let's go ahead and go to 76. The editorial staff came in to me and said, you know, with that, can you do a publisher's letter? And I'm not a writer. I didn't go to J school, journalism school, and so I wrote one. Tony, my partner, helped me write it. And so we put it in the paper, and I added two sentences to the letter. I don't know if you guys seen this or not, but it said basically at the end of the letter about marriage equality, I said, at this time I want to take an opportunity to propose to my partner. Tony, will you marry me? And he said yes. So yeah,
awesome.
he did. So we are planning a wedding in September. And, you know, I was looking at several websites and got so overwhelmed on all the details of a wedding, you know, and coming up with a budget, a venue, caterers, photographers. It's a whole list of things, you know, and it's just so it can be overwhelming. I think that's why this expo is so important for our community, because it does answer a lot of those questions for us. But.
See, with Brian and me, we've done all the unimportant things first, like what are our colors? Blush and bashful.
Right.
Right. Good choices.
Thank you.
So have you all picked out your paper stock yet for invitations?
No.
See, that's another thing.
Yeah, we have.
You have?
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Okay.
That's the one thing I've done, right?
Okay. What are some of the other things that you're thinking of venue-wise that somebody would plan?
Trying to pick your venue. Well, a lot of venues out there are providing – see what your venue has to offer you. And maybe do a little research and talk to different kinds of venues to begin with. There's some venues that have tables and chairs and linen and lighting and sound systems and bar service, and there's some venues that just come with the bare bones. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at a venue that maybe costs $6,000, which is maybe not what you expected to plan, look at all the things that they have included with that.
Right, because a venue for $3,000, you then have to go out, rent your tables, rent your tablecloths, rent the silverware, rent the glasses.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And also, a caterer, most caterers are complete event planners as well, and work with other event planners and wedding planners too, and can help recommend all those kind of things. And do listen to the people that you're talking to and who they recommend that you use, because you want to use somebody that is reputable, because there's a lot of home cooks out there. There's a lot of, you know, photographers out there that, you know, I had a photographer one time that was I couldn't, the bride was coming down the stairs and it was time to take the picture right before the ceremony, and I couldn't find him because he was taking pictures of bubbles coming up in a champagne glass. Mm. You know, so you want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody reputable.
You know, talking about photographers, I spoke to a photographer one time who said, you know, really, these photographers who are arguing, oh, I just don't want to do gay weddings. Well, most gay people don't want those photographers at their weddings because there is a difference in how you take some of the pictures. Like, usually with the bride and groom, there's a picture of the groom with the bride on his lap. You don't do that with two grooms. And other poses that are the traditional wedding poses, you just don't do that. So you're looking for somebody who has some experience with the gay community a little bit.
And even if they don't have experience, as long as they talk to you and really understand what your needs are and go through your event plan with you. Because the photographer and the DJ are also key people in your wedding if you have a DJ or a band, because they help introduce things and they'll kind of help you with your timeline of your event as well.
And I think it's important to get somebody reputable, but as well get somebody that is comfortable with working with the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this expo, was to be able to present to our community exhibitors that are comfortable working with us. Mm-hmm. And so that was an important element for us.
Sure. Yeah. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We're talking about the LGBT Wedding Expo that takes place next Sunday.
Right.
We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this. And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. We have a number of guests here in the studio today. We're talking about weddings, really, not marriage. We're talking about weddings. And one of the reasons Dallas is a great place for us to be doing this is the first day of marriage equality. Houston started issuing licenses like about 3:30 in the afternoon. They issued something like 250 licenses in about 2 hours. Austin issued 360 some odd licenses. Dallas, we had extra hours. We were, you know, all ready for it. 178. I know the reason. This is Dallas. We plan. We have a group for everything. We don't just run downtown, get a marriage license. We don't do it that way. We plan. am I right?
Well, I have to do that comparison with Austin. You know, Austin's little slogan is "Keep Austin Weird." Mm-hmm. And there's a place in Dallas that sells a T-shirt for $29. A T-shirt for $29. It says, "Keep Dallas Pretentious." So, we are a little different here. We like to plan. We like to get it right, up to standard.
But
you know.
But you know what? When I was when I mentioned on my Facebook page that, oh, even Brian and I are thinking of getting married, all my relatives from around the country contacted me. What's the date? Do we need to get airfare yet? So everybody's planning on coming.
Well, that's probably 3,300 people right there.
Exactly. We plan. You know, I couldn't just throw something together and run downtown. They'd be disappointed if I did that. So we're going to do something. We are talking about the Wedding Expo. Leo, give us the when, where, why, who, what, whatever.
Well, this is presented by Dallas Voice, but it is hosted by the Hilton Anatole Hotel, mm-hmm. and it benefits the North Texas GLBT Chamber. It's going to be next Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 6 p.m.
Okay, so it's at the Anatole, and you have to register. Where do you register?
You register online. We have an Eventbrite page to register on, and it is free to attend and free parking.
If you do have to register for that, correct. Okay.
Yeah.
What makes this expo different than a traditional bridal expo like is going on at Market Hall today?
That's true. Well, I think our expo is different for several reasons. One is, I think it's the largest expo in the wedding expo in the state, and there are plenty bridal expos, bridal shows out there, but not really a wedding show. And I think that's maybe more unique to the LGBT community. And for us, we're targeted to that community. So this is created for it's of the LGBT community and by the LGBT community. So it's for us directly.
Okay. Now you might not cannot believe this, but neither Patty nor Laurent nor I have ever been to a bridal show. Am I right to
say that? I have never been to a bridal show.
Yeah,
or a groom show.
I'm shocked.
No, I'm shocked. Me either.
Okay, so what is a bridal show?
Well, Mark could probably answer that better than I can.
Well, in a traditional sense, it's a trade show with vendors who cater to that 21-year-old, 22-year-old female and her mother who have been planning this event since she was 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. I love the "and her mother" because that's, you
that's
know.
Right, that's right.
Right, right.
Wow.
I guess I'll have to.
I'll get it so much.
I guess I'm going to have to be that mother.
You're going to be.
Right. Well, the demographics of a bridal show are significantly different than what we're seeing in our advanced registration.
Who's coming to this show?
Well, in a traditional bridal show, the average woman is 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In our show, the average attendee, 48% of the people attending this are between 36 and 54 years old. We have a much more mature crowd, which in itself speaks to the disposable income that is present with this group. So I would say that's one significant difference. The other is how we chose the individuals and the companies and the organizations that are participating as exhibitors in our event. The name wedding party, that's a double entendre. If you're gay, you understand the difference. We have we have a group of people that are associated with a wedding, but this is a party. This is a paradigm shift in culture, and we're celebrating that marriage equality as the central theme of this event. So we chose our exhibitors based on their willingness, because 70% of our exhibitors are straight owned and operated companies. So it's been...
Well, and once again, it's for wedding photographers and wedding planners and cake bakers who are complaining, oh, poor me, and you're stepping on my religious beliefs. And all of them were so fake anyway, because they all put up GoFundMe pages and raised between $500,000 and $1 million each within a day or two. So, and which was the actual goal. You know, poor memories pizza.
You know, I'm not going to criticize anyone's motivations for something they do or choose not to do.
I will.
I know. So I'll let you fill
we'll do it for
in
for you, too.
The fact is that 100% of our exhibitors want to do business with the LGBT community.
Why wouldn't you?
There again, I can't speak for the priorities of everyone. You know, only 12% of the American public share my priorities, so I can't speak for the balance of that.
One thing that we do know is that the LGBT community is more of a grassroots community, and so we like to feel supported and connected to people and companies. And so for us with this expo, we understood that we feel very strongly that you need to be responsible when it comes to the community, and you need to give back. And so this expo, one of the differences is that we have a beneficiary, and that's the North Texas GLBT Chamber of Commerce. And so I think that's important that we look at that element, because, you know, the other thing that we looked at, too, is reaching out to our nonprofits. So we have over a dozen nonprofits that are supporting this event, that are endorsing this event, and they get the way that we help them is they get a free table at the event as well.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to kind of bring up here. As I said, the profile of the individual, the mother and the daughter who attend, they're not necessarily having a wedding this year. It may not be next year. It may not be 4 years from now.
There may not even be a groom yet.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So, you know, it's Match.com has a booth there, too. However, our group, and this is significant, 71% of the people who have registered in advance for our show has said they are having their wedding within the next 12 months.
Wow.
So this isn't a long-term development thing for our exhibitors. These people are ready to buy, and this is their opportunity. This is their marketplace, and we tried to treat it that way.
You know, one thing I think is interesting is that 56% of the people going are male. With a straight wedding expo, I can't imagine very many of the brides dragging along their husbands.
I have a question. You know, we speak so much about weddings, and, you know, we kind of like tuned out as the LGBT community for decades because we weren't a part of that. so to speak. And when we had, you know, like ceremonies, union ceremonies, we always made them very different. But I'm finding in the weddings that I've attended and officiated in, I've actually officiated at three weddings, one with David, mm-hmm. The traditions have kind of gone out the window. They've been
you and I officiated.
That's pretty non-traditional. But things like rice and the something borrowed, something blue, and, you know, a lot of those things are just gone from, because people want to make their own traditions.
Right. We're going to do something pink.
Oh, you're going to do something pink. Well, right. That's right in line. That's,
no, absolutely. That's the beauty of this, Patty. That you're exactly right. We're writing the rules as we go along mm-hmm. right now. The things that you're going to see at our expo will be the traditions in years to come. So that's a real exciting part of producing this. I never expected to be married, and I am married, but I never expected to be married, let alone if someone had told me at 60 years old I was going to be producing a GLBT wedding expo. I would have wanted you to share with me what you had.
So the exhibitors at the show are going to be offering creative things. One of my favorites was my cousin and her partner of 24 years just celebrated their 25th anniversary, and 1 year anniversary of getting married. Had bells because the venue they chose couldn't throw anything, and so every person in the party that participated in the wedding had a little bell, and when it was done, it was a great venue to ring the bells in too. So it was different, but it was so nice. It was just so perfect.
If you and Aaron get married, make sure it's a place where we can throw something.
Did you hear that, sweetie?
No, Patty, you're very right. You know, there is so many different things that, you know, Tony and I am planning our wedding that you're like, what do we do here? I mean, you know, when they say you may kiss the bride, well, there's no bride. Or even if it's kiss the groom, there's two grooms. And what about who proposes? And is there a garter? What about the best man? You know, well, there's best men. You know, there's a lot of questions that we hope to answer.
I started out as the best gal.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
You know, I went to about 10 weddings the first week of marriage equality. Most of them were couples who'd been together 25 years or more. I think one couple had only been together 5 or 6 years. But the judges were fine with it. I mean, they adapted like that. It was, you may now kiss.
Or you may now kiss your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Spouses for life.
It was
just
real easy.
One other consequence of what we're doing here mm-hmm. that I'm especially proud about, I won't mention their name, but one of our largest anchor sponsors, national sponsors, who is participating throughout the event, is also a tux rental company. And as a result of this event, every one of their stores nationally have been directed to train a female employee to measure a female for a tux.
Awesome.
Isn't that
because
amazing?
Traditionally that doesn't happen. You got a guy.
That is awesome.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So you know, this is a Forrest Gump moment. We are getting to see things right. change.
We're creating change.
It's incredible.
I love that.
Oh, that's awesome, because there are a lot of women who want to wear a tux.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think most lesbian wedding pictures I've seen, one of them is wearing a tux.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's awesome. That is the beauty about, I guess, our getting married or having a wedding, is to kind of do what you want to do.
Lauren, can you see these two in white flowing gowns?
I cannot.
You know,
but the
Aaron walks into the Lauren, Aaron walks into the church. She's standing there. 5 minutes later, you know, phone rings. Hi, I'm running a little bit late.
Now.
And then comes Patty in her long dress. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen that way.
And heels. Mm-hmm. You know, we're both so good on heels.
Here's one thing I would expect. I think a lot of these vendors are going to hear things that they might be real logical, and they'll go, huh, I never thought about that. I think there's going to be a lot of that next week.
There already is. We've had one of the things we're considering right now, I've had at least 10 of my vendors say, can we have a conversation? I'd like to know the best way to market to the LGBT community, specifically the transgender community. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caitlin has certainly brought that to the forefront. And, I mean, even Pat Robertson doesn't have any questions on that. But I'm getting it from my vendors. So we're considering doing an orientation the day before just to question and answer, just feel comfortable. You know, they Leo wrote, if you haven't read it, Leo wrote in our prospectus, I think probably the most descriptive and accurate couple of paragraphs I've ever read, in as much as he said, you know, as a community, we value our supporters and we value our friendships. More importantly, we're not really trusting of people outside of our community, so it's important for us to feel like they really want to do business with us.
Well, I just want to say, when you do that orientation, you should call it. This would be the title of it. It's not a preference. It's an orientation.
I love that. Love that.
No, because that's a big thing, too. I mean, when people hear that,
yes.
You know, like if a vendor were to say, oh, what, you know, right. we don't, you know, mind anyone's sexual preference, like, you know, people reel right. from that. You
or
know?
Lifestyle, so, the word lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
No one really gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you need that. It's not a preference. It's an orientation.
That's very true, and so and I think that also makes this show a little different, because we the prospectus actually went into a profile of the attendees of the community, and it was really more for an education for a lot of these straight businesses. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Did you include there that your mom would be coming with you? Because I'm not sensing that from our. Right. Or the vibe in our community.
That's right. That's
a lot of moms
right.
and dads coming along.
Okay, in the first segment of our show, we were talking with Melissa about some things like venue ideas, just ideas for themes, the budget. You've asked different categories of people to come to this. What are some of the categories? And that might jog our memories or ideas about what does it take to plan a wedding?
We identified 20 categories. Mm-hmm. These are products or services that relate directly to the wedding event, whether it be pre-wedding invitations, post or the wedding itself, and post-wedding activities, honeymoons, destinations. Mm-hmm. So we have the traditional, the bakers, the photographers, the florists, the event planners, facilities, travel.
Jewelry.
Jewelers, yes. And here's a paid commercial. Joe Pizzetti will have his hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewels to bedazzle everybody there. But then the jewelers out there. So we've actually got four jewelers that would be there. We set a limit of no more than four companies in each one of those 20 categories. We wanted a balance of services. We wanted a turnkey selection of providers. And we were very, very fortunate. The only exception to that rule is I wanted as many caterers as I could have
right.
and as many cake bakers, and I get to test everything before the show opens. That was it. And so we successfully did that. You're not going to see a knife company there. You're not going to see an energy company there. You're not going to see any of the non-wedding-centric providers out there that you normally see at a consumer show mm-hmm. to fill up booths. We sold out. We've got at this point, of all the people participating, mm-hmm. we have 90 companies
wow.
participating in this. 90 companies. And as of this morning, I'm happy to say, we have 527 pre-registrations.
Wow.
We'll hit 600 by the end of the week. We anticipate 400.
I think more than that, because it's not the kind of thing that you really plan that you're going to. Weeks out, it's one of those things you hear about it that week. Oh, I'd like to go. It's on Saturday,
yeah.
or Sunday rather. It's on Sunday.
Well, plus we have this social media genius that's been working with us to promote the mm-hmm. both the business community and the mm-hmm. the attendee pool of attendees that you're going to be talking with him just a little bit. But we are the buzz. In social media.
Mm-hmm. In fact, this might be a good segue, I think. You know, I think this is really a celebration, a party, if you rather, and we look at this as a marriage equality event in celebration of that ruling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do have two secret weapons with this show, and one is Mark Stenson Stokes, who is our show director, and the other is David Andrews, who is our fashion show coordinator, and I'd like to change places with him. Maybe.
After our break. We have to take a break in just a couple of minutes. I want to do one little bit of news. You had some news, Patty. HERO, which is the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, the Texas Supreme Court, which can always be relied on to do the wrong thing, has invalidated the ordinance and said it needs to either be repealed by city council or go on the ballot.
In November.
In November, right.
So the Houston City Council would either repeal it outright or vote to put it on the ballot in November to be voted on by voters in Houston. But here's Governor Abbott's statement about it. Quote, "Freedom of expression can only exist once government removes itself from stifling free speech, repressing religious liberty, and interfering with the lives of its citizens. Today's decision by the Texas Supreme Court appropriately returns jurisdiction over this matter to voters while reassuring the people of Houston that their personal values remain beyond the reach of government." So not a word about the liberties
now, this
of
is
LGBT
a,
people.
This is despite the fact that they had a chance to get it on the ballot legally, and they failed to do so.
Right.
Right. What happened was the city itself invalidated most of the signatures because people didn't live in Houston, because they were
fraud.
It was all kinds of fraud. Right. They got it. They needed 17,000 signatures. They got it down to something like 6,000 signatures. I heard actually it's really only about 3,000 signatures that were valid. The Supreme Court revalidated those signatures, and that was the decision.
So can Houston appeal that decision?
No, there's nowhere to go.
Texas Supreme Court, on a city charter type issue, that's it. So it has to either go to a ballot. Now, when we had it on our ballot last year, ours passed by 77% of the vote.
The non-discrimination.
Right. The non-discrimination.
Policy in the charter.
Yeah. And it passed. Can Houston do the same thing? They won't. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink, and we'll be back with more right after this. And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Ron Landis and the late Patty Fink. We're talking weddings today. There's a wedding expo that's going on at the Anatole next Sunday, and some of the people who are putting it together are here today. At the microphone right now is David Andrews, who has helped Mark Stimson put the whole thing together with getting vendors and putting on shows and other stuff. Welcome, David. You're doing a fashion show part of this.
Yeah, I'm helping with the fashion show, and we have Steve Kimball. If anyone knows who Steve Kimball is, our master of ceremonies. His byline is America's sassiest lifestyle guru, and so I'm trying to fill in for him a little bit because he's in New York City right now, and I couldn't decide on rhinestone headphones or leopard headphones as far as in studio, keeping with Steve. But we have a lot of surprises for the fashion show and kind of showing everything from formal to resort and honeymoon.
Oh, okay. So this is
for grooms and brides?
For both, yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
So this is what you would wear at the wedding. It's what you would wear at the reception, what you would wear when you go on your honeymoon,
exactly,
just a whole variety of stuff.
You know, we've talked a lot about that this is, you know, gay marriage is not, you know, traditional. So we're doing everything from, you know, very formal things like, and I don't know, I guess, can I mention names? Benzario Couture, which is probably the most formal local Dallas designer, just gorgeous, gorgeous gowns, right down to,
Did you take the name down, Patty?
But our tuxedo manufacturers, and Al's formal wear, if it's okay to say another name, is one they all were, and a local one, Pride Tuxedo. They were all pushing to make sure that we were doing women, because they have full lines out that are tuxedos tailored for women.
Awesome.
And they really want to concentrate on that and make sure that we had that in the fashion show as well and things like that too. So
okay, so we've mentioned twice now that tux shops are been told to measure women. Have any of the bridal places been told to measure for men?
Well, we didn't concentrate on that, but maybe
you mean
Steve
the long white
the long white dresses? Yes.
Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen it. I'm sure it's happened somewhere, but I hadn't seen it.
I mean, even drag queens.
Even drag queens
got married.
Yeah, they typically still put on a tux.
Yeah.
But I'm sure somewhere.
Has anybody here heard
Has anybody
that?
Seen that?
No. Okay.
Okay.
But there is that old adage, you know, when they say, you know, a man in drag is funny, a woman in drag is Armani, you know.
Okay.
We do have Crystal Summers join us, and some surprises with Crystal Summers also walking the runway, in addition to Dragonfly Agency is providing us the models. And I like to mention these names because they've all given it free. They're all donating their services and everything.
Yeah.
People were very eager to be part, so it's very exciting.
Right.
One of the things that I've noticed that I think is really very special about this expo in Dallas, Texas right now is that when the Obergefell decision came on June 26th, most of the country didn't really care about it except for the 13 states where there was none. You know, we're talking about through the Deep South, you know.
And up the middle,
yeah. Right. And Texas was high featured around. I mean, you don't, like, rush to Boston, Massachusetts at this point to talk about, ooh, weddings, you know, because they've had marriage for 10 years and all these other states haven't. But Texas is ripe. You know, we're a big state and nobody's really focused on us because we haven't had it before. Have you found in some of your dealings that it's such a new thing that people are kind of shocked to even contemplate it?
Do you know the response I get? God, I wish I'd thought of doing this myself.
Oh, there you go.
But on the other hand, you know, maybe in our lives we didn't think we were going to have gay marriage, but we love a party. And many of us are involved in, you know, event planners and caterers, and we're involved in that industry, and we throw parties, so we're good at that part.
Mm-hmm. This will be a white party.
Except here's the difference. We appoint a committee. And you can't do that for your wedding, or can
you?
Sure,
you can. I bet you could.
Patty?
Absolutely.
Thank you. You're chairing mine.
I don't know about that. I didn't step up for that, but we could have a committee.
But in a way, one of the things, so that people don't panic about it, all it really is a party.
Right. And, you know, that's part of what we're doing with the show, the fashion show. And that's why we also wanted to have, you know, honeymoon resort wear. We weren't just going to do wedding attire. And then within that also, you've got, you know, some people that will want to do very casual, some want to do traditional, things like that.
You mentioned honeymoon. We all know that there are some destinations where they're incredibly popular for straight couples to go. They probably aren't the best destinations for gay and lesbian couples
to go.
Like sandals. Jamaica. You know, I'm assuming have these travel agencies or whoever are setting or talking about this, are they aware of that?
I'll let Mark talk on that, but I know we've got a lot of destination cruise companies. We've got a lot of vacation places. Yeah.
Dave's right. We have four cruise companies that are exhibiting. We've got six destination companies, including an incredible bed and breakfast out of Shreveport, Louisiana. We're going to be... Well, I won't get into that. But yes, so they're very, very conscious. These are these are cruise companies that are run by members of the LGBT community. So they're very aware of where we're welcome and where we're not welcome, which that list of not being welcome at keeps getting smaller every day.
That's good.
So Uganda won't be there.
No. You know, I'm not sure you can take a cruise to Uganda, could you? True. I don't think.
Dave has probably not explored the what we call the main stage as much as I would like him to. The fashion show is only one element of a six-hour
event. So what else?
Event.
What else is going on?
Well, as far as entertainment, in addition, I guess you're speaking, we've got Turtle Creek Corral performing throughout the day. The fashion show is going to be twice during the day. And we'll be publishing, I think, the schedule of that probably this week, both at the Facebook website and then also probably in The Voice.
We're making fun of all these companies that don't want to do business with us. Mark, you have an interesting story. You said this is the first time in your 76 years that you have...
Good product, right?
Great product.
Well, he also works in my office, and it's nice to have somebody older than me now.
I don't know. That's not possible. That's not possible.
Actually, he's younger than me.
In this case, looks and age, right?
This is the first time, though, that you've been discriminated against.
You know, I've always prided myself. I came out in 1969 in a very small town in southeast Texas. That should have had its challenges in itself, and it did. But I never really experienced in-your-face prejudice. I did this past week. I went to a vendor that I've been using for 12 years, and this this vendor has I've spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars with this vendor supporting the different events that I've managed, trade shows that I've produced. And so I went to this individual and I said, you know, I want you to bid on this show book. It's a resource guide. And I told him what it was for, and he said, well, I can't do that. And I said, okay, why? You know, what do you mean you can't do it? He said, well, I don't do business with those people.
Wow.
And I said, really? I said, David, you've been doing business with me how long? 12 years? Yes. How can you do business with me and not do business with this expo? I'm gay. And there was a pregnant pause. I didn't know that.
Really?
And I said, well, how about...
I know, how could anybody miss that?
Exactly, you know. And I said, well, how about John, John Stokes? And he said, yeah. And I said, that's my husband. And he said, I didn't know that. And I said, so you're telling me that because this is for a gay activity and it's for marriage equality, you won't do it, and you wouldn't do it for me if you had known. He said, that's right. I don't do business with those people.
And that was in the city of Dallas?
That was 3 days ago in Dallas.
Yeah, that was in the city of Dallas, yes.
We have an ordinance against that. That's illegal.
Well, it's illegal actually, this is Addison. I don't know if Addison has that ordinance.
No. So he's safe.
I was shocked, disappointed, but I told him, I said, then no. Everyone in my industry, and I'm kind of high profile in the event industry, will know this story. Get ready.
Well, it just got told on the air.
Well, in a similar situation, we've got swimsuits, so we've got some good eye candy in the fashion show. And I had a problem, actually, with women's swimsuits and finding a manufacturer, you know, a national. I talked to a couple national stores that do swimwear for the women. And, you know, they answer, well, we really don't want to be a part of this. This doesn't fit into our model, our business model.
So did you finally find a women's swimsuit manufacturer that makes...
Brand new one called Reveal.
And they do plaid flannel swimsuits?
Are you offering a model for us, David?
I would.
He makes a great lesbian, actually. You know, because dykes do swim.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Huh. So you also... But what do they mean... That's not their market.
Well, that was kind of the, and it always came down to an email, and it was the wording was something along those lines where it was kind of like.
I mean, because not
could read
all
between
lesbians,
the lines, I think,
not all know. Lesbians are short like Patty. I mean, I understand maybe if that's not their, but what's not their market? It's women.
I didn't want to pursue it. We wanted people that are excited and want to be a part, you know. And I found this wonderful boutique that's just opening in Dallas on Lover's Lane called Reveal Swimwear that was super excited to be part of it. So,
why wouldn't a store want more customers?
Exactly right.
I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
That's the million-dollar question with all of it. Cake bakers, venue holders, I mean, any of that. Why wouldn't you want the
and
business?
And Memory's Pizza.
Exactly.
You
know.
Yeah, any
you
of
know,
this.
The gay, you can make the gay more community money does pizza for weddings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Are there other categories of things? Because we're talking about a little bit about weddings. When you're planning a wedding, and none of us have ever even thought about planning a wedding, and all of a sudden we're having them, other categories of vendors?
You know, there are, and I'm glad you brought this up. We have, in the pre-function area outside of the main ballroom, we have something called business connections. If you notice, whenever I said that our average age group was 36 to 54, it's a more mature group of people that have also already have established lives. They've already, and in many cases, have been together for 10, 15. John and I were together 20 years before we got married. So we have assets. We have an estate. Well, little things that you don't think of, like John and I own our deed are listed as tenants in common. Well, we're not anymore. We're community property. So reorganizing our personal life becomes a very much of a wedding issue that we deal with. So we have people like wealth managers, we have attorneys, we have insurance people, and all these people are bringing a message and bringing the tools necessary to, like John and I, people like us, to manage our marriage, manage our life, and you just can't escape that as a result of the wedding event.
Now, one of the byproducts of marriage, a lot of the times, is children. Tell us about one of the booths that will be there.
We have,
that will help with that.
We have an organization called help
Fertility.
Me
Fertility.
Fertility Leaders of Texas. I get tongue-tied on that word. That are going to be in our business connections. Also, people who are, oddly enough, people who are concerned with our mode of transportation. Fiat is going to be there. We even have a registry with Bed Bath & Beyond. They're going to be there. There's national...
See, that's practical. That's very practical.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it's not just the ceremony. It is all those things that are impacted in your life as a result of matrimony. And the straight world has no idea how broad that is, especially if you've been living for several decades in a manufactured environment to provide you those same protections that the straight world expects and has automatically.
The best wedding registry was Laurent's. It was a Target, so I went to the Target in Duncanville. And asked for the Laurent and Danny wedding in Duncanville.
Believe it or not,
it was fun.
Yeah, and they this was 8 years ago, and they had same-sex wedding registry already.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was pretty nice.
Target
of them.
Does.
Yeah, Target did.
Not Target in Duncanville. I think I was the first person to pull up a same-sex wedding at Target in Duncanville.
I'm sure you were.
And that made for an interesting dinner conversation when they all went home that evening.
Yeah, it was. The fertility clinic. Now, at most bridal shows, do they have fertility clinics?
I'm about to go to one. I'll let you know.
Okay. I'm just curious because it's assumed if you're getting married and you're an opposite-sex couple that you can just have kids. Even though Julian, this is Julian's company, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, and Julian Escobar will be our guest end of August, I think,
yes.
Is what we scheduled. Julian never did a same-sex couple until this year, and he's been a doctor for about 8 years now. So lots of fertility solutions are for opposite-sex couples, but obviously in the gay community, we need that. It's interesting to have that, though, at the wedding expo.
It is.
Although you and Danny got married before
yes.
you contracted with your surrogate
yes.
so that she wouldn't be a bastard.
Yes, my child is not a bastard.
Well, she is, but no. No. But, yeah. But seriously, So it is an issue that the gay community will be dealing with.
Well, there's another issue, too, because straight couples many times have their own children that they bring to the marriage who participate in a wedding, certainly. Mm-hmm. Are there special things for kids? And certainly in the fashion area, I could see that would be an area to cover.
It is a kid-friendly event.
Kid-friendly event. Awesome.
Okay,
but they participate in the wedding too. You know,
we have one flower girl. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but we have one flower girl.
I have a flower girl picked out already too.
Yeah.
He's 6'5". He only requested one thing. He wants to wear a very little tutu.
So more of the entertainment during the show. We've got a lot from Bravo Entertainment. If you're not familiar with them, they're a huge production company in Dallas. And like the violin guy is just amazing. I mentioned Turtle Creek Corral. Mm-hmm. Hilton Anatole and One Bar USA are also providing us with the first 600 attendees get a Cosmo. So there's some entertainment for you.
And wow. Give us the who, what, when, where of this again.
Sunday, August the 2nd, from 12 o'clock noon to 6 o'clock, we're in the Stimmons Ballroom. It's the atrium entrance, which is the major entrance to the hotel where registration is. We do have free parking with registration, but you must go online and register in advance. There's no cost, but this is how the Voice actually picked up the tab for the parking. Otherwise, it's $19.
Right. Right. What do you get when you register?
When you go online, it's www.theweddingpartyexpo.com. then you click on the button to register, you fill out a form, and you can produce then a ticket. And that ticket is what you'll use to cover your parking to get out of the parking lot.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Very good. Well, I want to thank everybody, David, Mark, Melissa, Leo, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, David.
Next week we have Candy Markham. We'll be back with more then.